This is episode 534 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's article, Perimeter Protection Assurance, Smart Tips. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey everyone, before I jump into the article of the podcast, I just wanted to share a couple of things that are on my mind, some of the things that are just kind of giving me a little bit of concern or a little bit of pause. So you know that I've been promoting this Ultimate Bundle ebook, right? 140 plus tips to save money. So I've mentioned it here on the podcast. There was a link. It's already expired. It expired on March 19th at midnight. I sent out emails if you're on the email list, and I also pushed it out through social media, right? One of the social medias that I used, or one of the channels, was my Instagram. So if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I post, I try to post at least one picture, one something every day, right? I try to do that. So in order to promote this ebook, you don't get to do links. If you're not familiar with Instagram, you don't get to do links in every post. What you get to do a link in your profile, right? And so I had a link to PrepperWebsite.com before, and I would always share out, every other day I would share out like a screenshot of Prepper Website, and that's what I would post every other day, right? But when I was promoting this ebook, I switched the profile link to the ebook link, right, to be able to download it. And so after the 19th, after, you know, it was late at night, I was getting ready to switch out that link and put the Prepper Website profile link back up. And Instagram wouldn't let me do it. It kept giving me an error. It kept saying, link not allowed. It looks like your profile contains a link that is not allowed. We restrict certain content and actions to protect our community. Tell us if you think we made a mistake. So then it says, tell us, and then it says, okay. So of course I pushed tell us because I'm like, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? I've had this link for I don't know how long, you know, on there. And then all of a sudden you're telling me it's not acceptable anymore. So I push tell us and it's all it says is thank you, you know, thank you for letting us know. And then that's it. And so I hit okay. And then I went back and I tried to do all different variations of it, right? Just www, HTTPS. I tried to use all those different and I kept getting the same error message. And so then I'm like, okay, well, let me try another one. I put the podcast website in there and it went fine, no problem, which is crazy because Prepper Website is PrepperWebsite.com, but the podcast is the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. And so it allowed that one. So man, I'm just like, can you imagine? I can't believe that this kind of stuff is going on. I mean, why in the world would they do it? And there's really no recourse to be able to go back and say, you know, talk to someone, a real person, and say, hey, wait a minute. If you just go back, a couple of days, you'll know that on my profile link, I had the link to Prepper Website. What's going on? All of a sudden, you're saying that Prepper Website is a link that is not allowed. So, man, that I got to tell you, that's giving me a little bit of pause there. So you hear about these kinds of things going on with other, you know, in other areas, other platforms. I just, you know, I've never experienced it with Prepper Website before. So that's kind of, that's really weird. You know, lately because of the shooting that happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, it looks like for whatever reason, there was a video shared out by Zero Hedge. And ZeroHedge.com, they're mostly deal with finances, right? But they're also alternative news. They also share out alternative news articles and things like that. And, you know, I follow them on Twitter, you know, I share out their articles, all that kind of stuff. Well, they've been banned by New Zealand, right? And so the ISP over there, one of the big ones, has banned them completely. And it's in Australia too, I believe, right? And so on the Drudge Report today, I mean, this is kind of why I'm bringing this up. I saw that there was a link, you know, that they were talking about this this issue over in, they were banning Zero Hedge, and actually they were they were blocking other websites as well. It's just there wasn't a list of the websites. You know, one of the extensions, I don't know if you're familiar with gab.com. So one of the extensions there, they've been pretty much deplatformed as far as being able to hit them from like the Google Play Store and all those places, and being able to, I mean, there's no banks that will do business with them. They have like a bank that is completely, I don't know, you know, they have, it's like offshore type thing. They had to go to one of those because no bank would do business with them. PayPal shut them down and all of that kind of stuff. And Gab is a, they're touting it as like a First Amendment free speech place, you know, so like where Twitter is shutting people down all the time, that, you know, Gab doesn't do that unless you completely go off, you know, the deep end and you start talking about killing people and all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, so, you know, they have that. So they came out with this thing called Dissenter, which basically is, and I'm probably not going to describe it right, but it's like a layer on top of, it's a browser, it's a Chrome extension, which lays on top of a website. So let's just say Prepper website. I would post things on Prepper website. Dissenter could come on top of that. So someone who had Dissenter could come up on top of that and could leave messages on that website or on that specific post, right? And so people who had Dissenter could see what people were saying about that. Now, you wouldn't be able to see it if you didn't have Dissenter, but, you know, there you go. So anyway, that was blocked as well from New Zealand and Australia. So the thing was that link, and I believe it was InfoWars. And so, you know, of course, that's Alex Jones. A lot of people have a lot of, you know, issues with Alex Jones. I got to admit, I do too, some of the ways that he comes across. And then other times he does make a lot of sense. And there are some things that he says that, you know, that are concerning. But, you know, he was talking about this aspect of it. And is it just becoming easier and easier for them to say, you know, to just ban people and not allow other people to, or not allow some of these websites and maybe websites that we go to, or maybe people that are, you know, on the right or, you know, alternative news type websites or conservative or libertarian or whatever, the, you know, websites that don't talk about the status quo, that are talking about, hey, we are living differently. I mean, come on, who would have thought that Instagram would have blocked Prepper website? I mean, are you kidding me? And so that's just, you know, concerning, because are we going that way? And the thing is that there's nothing going to be done about it. I mean, they've talked about it on, you know, different senators and congressmen, and they've talked about it in Washington. They've brought it up. They've brought the bigwigs in, right? They've brought in, you know, Facebook, they brought in Twitter, and nothing was done. You know, nothing is done. And let me tell you, the government's not going to do anything unless it benefits them. And right now, social media benefits them greatly because they get a ton of information and they can, you know, put out there to the masses what they want. And the thing is that social media is very much ingrained in so many people. I mean, I remember at the very beginning when I started a Prepper website, you know, I would post something on Facebook or whatever, and I would say, hey, we're going to be over at Facebook. And people were like, hey, I don't get on social media. I don't do any of that. You know, can you just do it here on the website? And I'm telling you, there's not so much of that anymore. There's still even people that were holdouts for going to social media and stuff like that in the preparedness community started to break away from that because so many people are on social media, and it's one of those things, it's so easy to access, right? And so you have that there, and it's just, man, they can control a lot with what they want to do over there. So I bring that up, and I also want to bring up the fact that you definitely need to have an avenue of communication. So I have the podcast here, and you know what? I'm going to be doing the podcast for as long as I feel I'm supposed to be doing it. For me, it's a mission. You know, I feel like I'm supposed to be doing it, and I'm going to do that as long as I continue to feel that, right? So I'm going to continue to do that. But at some point, the hosting, right, could say, you know what, we don't like your messages, or we don't like preparedness or self-reliance, or maybe the fact that you've talked about some alternative news articles or whatever, you know, some political things. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to just, you know, not renew your monthly subscription. You're just kind of, you're done, right? Or we're not going to allow you to host anymore here on our hosting. So I would have to go and find another hosting platform. And I'll tell you right now, the hosting platform that I have is pretty financially doable for me. If I had to move to another one, I don't know if I would be able to do that, right? So, you know, I have the podcast, I have the website that I'm going to continue to update 24/7 as long as I feel like I'm supposed to be doing that. And so that's there as well. The other thing that I have control over, you know, other than that, and so I'll tell you, the hosting that I go through, I know the person, I've worked with him, and so I really do think that that he is like up and up. I don't believe that he would ever shut down Prepper website. I think that, you know, it's a small business. It's not like big like GoDaddy or somebody like that. And I think that if he didn't want to work with me, I think he would have shut it down a long time ago. He would have never said, hey, you can come on over. So I think I'm good with Prepper website, but I can control that, right? So I can control Prepper website. I can control at least what I put out on the podcast as long as the hosting is there. And I can control my email. I can control that. But everything else is up for grabs, man. So I would tell you that if you're not on the email list, and I'm going to tell you this, having an email list and having the subscribers that I have, and I don't have a ton, right? I go through every so often and I start to cull the list, right? I start to delete people who haven't opened up an email in a while. And I do that because it saves me a little bit of money and it helps out financially there. So I do that every once in a while, but it does cost money, but I can control that, right? And so I'm not saying that because I just want a rush of people on there, but if you are somebody that wants to be able to be communicated with, definitely you need to have the email list, you know? And so I can send an email, or you need to be on the email list is what I'm saying. I can easily send an email just like that. You know, I can send it from my phone. I can send it from my laptop. You know, basically anywhere that I have an internet connection, I can do that very quickly to get information out to people. And so again, that's another thing that I can control. I can download the emails. And so I have that list of emails. So if my email provider starts freaking out, which I don't believe they would, but if they did, then I could easily jump onto another one, right? And I could go do that. So I know that in this day and age, there's a lot of emails going out there. I subscribe to a lot of emails as well, but I do provide value out there. I do try to do that. And so if you are somebody's like, Todd, I don't need another email. I completely understand. I try not to bombard with emails like some of the email lists that I see out there. I try to send maybe one on Tuesday, maybe one on definitely the Saturday prep. I send that out. And, you know, I try to send out stuff that's valuable, things that I think people can use. Maybe I ask a question. Maybe I link to a video or whatever. But anyway, I'm just saying all of that because we are in crazy times. And if there was news that I needed to get to you really quickly, or let's just say Prepper website was shut down for whatever reason, I could let people know, right? And I have that avenue to do that. So the email list is there. It's going to be in the show notes. You can come to any of the websites and you can join the email list. You know, a lot of email lists out there will give you something. It's called a lead magnet, right? So like if you join my email list, I will give you this. And really with all the GDPR stuff that came out a while back last year, theoretically, you're not supposed to do that. Here in America, I think people still continue to do that. Theoretically, you're not supposed to. And so that's why I don't say, if you join the email list, I'm going to send you this. Now, do you get things from time to time? Do I send out things like free things? Like just this last week, I sent out a link to a free PDF that you could download, right? And so are there things that I send out? Yes. But I'm not saying that you're going to get that in return for your email. And so what you get when you join the email list is you get news from Prepper website and you get updates. And sometimes you even get promotions and things like that. And those promotions help to, you know, sponsor the or pay for the email list and the hosting and all that kind of stuff, right? And so definitely not getting rich by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm not doing it for that. If I wanted to do that, I would be pimping out this podcast. I'd be pimping out Prepper website even more than I do, and definitely the emails. You would be getting those on a real regular basis, right? And if you didn't like it, you just didn't like it. So anyway, that's just my spill there. Things are so crazy. I believe we're going to see even more of this. I believe we're going to see a lot of this moving forward into the election, because one of the things, remember, that they say is that, you know, there was that one group that helped Donald Trump, that they were able to get into Facebook and they were able to, you know, get data and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that, that really helped that much. But I think that that's going to be one of the issues. And they're all across the board. You're seeing that they're deplatforming conservative thought, you know, conservative principles and all of that. And you're not seeing the same thing, you know, over on the left. You're not seeing those people shut down. And so anyway, there you go. That's my 2, 3, 4, 5 cents on all of that. And I know that I've gone really, really long on that, but we need to stay, you know, prepped and aware, like always, on what is going on. All right, so enough of that. Let me go ahead and jump into prepperswill.com. That is the website of the article. The article is about perimeter protection assurance smart tips. And so this is a good article. I hope you enjoy it. Hope it gets you to think. So let's go ahead and jump in. Unless you reside in an underground bunker or an old refurbished missile launch control center, chances are your property and home perimeters add little to nothing to your safety and security on the whole. This is why extended perimeter security and alarms on your property during an SHTF scenario is so vital. It could give us those precious seconds we may need to protect ourselves and our families. This article, in simple terms, and presuming that you have a piece of somewhat adequate knowledge about home protection, will be guided, or gateway, if you will, into perimeter protection. No, we will not be going into detail about home rig claymores, trip traps that will take limbs off, or about the costly state-of-the-art alarm systems. The purpose here is to offer a brief understanding and knowledge of how to beef up the safety around the perimeter of your home base. This article is not only filled with the knowledge of us in protecting the boundaries of your home. The information herein can be used anywhere you find yourself when SHTF, an encampment, your bug out location, or even where you camp along the route to your bug out place. So let's start out with the safety analysis of where you live. Begin this entire process by performing a safety analysis of where you live. You should carefully consider the safety situation of the area in which you live before any SHTF. There are many reasons for needing to do this. It makes no difference at all how nice or quote unquote nice your area is. In an SHTF type scenario, the safeguards you have may not be ample enough for you to brazen out. Even during agreeable times, it can be a bit stirring to have other people walk right onto your property with no warning. It can be even more alarming to have hunters, innocent though still bearing arms, to suddenly appear on your land. It gets worse when an SHTF event takes place. When people are put in emergencies and feel their lives are in danger, they tend to act out in ways they may never have before. This is why it matters not how nice the area you reside in is. You must pre-evaluate the safety of your area and then proceed with preparations from there. For instance, preppers who live on major farms will have more land and more opportunity for trespassing to concentrate on. Folks with gardens will need to consider the facts that they could be raided for food and how to counteract that potentiality. Preppers that keep livestock will also require a different sort of defense. No matter what you do or where you are, you will need good security measures to protect what you have worked hard for. So as you can see, any given walk of life mixed with any catastrophic or disastrous event will require a different strategy and proper steps of preparation. However, they all share one single concept, security. So perimeter protection safety measures will also take different levels of preparation, expertise, and expense. One great way to learn about the many ways of self-defense and home protection is by purchasing one of the many books on the market in said theme. This can give you some specific information on, for example, urban home invasions or spontaneous concentrated urban rioting and looting, as well as how to defend and buttress your house from an outside attack. However, you cannot solely rely on books. So why worry about perimeter security? What are the police for? So you may feel pretty protected right now, but even now, it is a good idea to have some sort of perimeter protection in order. For the harder you make it for an attacker to charge you and invade your home or apartment, the better chance you have to get police on the line to escape or to take up guns and produce a defensive counterattack. In some emergency scenarios, as you can surely imagine, there will not be any help, no police or emergency services to respond to your call of distress. Simply trusting in your doors, locks, and stocking up on extra food and water and quote-unquote settling down for the storm will not quite cut it in these large-scale emergencies. Nearly any house can be burglarized or broken into by relentless invaders if they are given enough time and there are no worries of police showing up on the scene. Even homes made entirely of brick and with bars of steel shutters are not entirely fortified against intrusion. In a doomsday-like situation, even if you manage to, by the skin of your teeth, fend off the first onslaught of attackers, you can bet there will be more. That is simply the reality of things, depending upon the nature of the emergency situation, of course. Now, this is why it is so important to take a simple evaluation of local threat in and around your bug-out or bug-in location. Here's how to get started in the simplest, least expensive ways. Also, keep in mind that if you have no business messing with certain traps or signals in perimeter protection, do not attempt them. Proper training and handling courses are necessary for some things. Unless you can live with a few fewer fingers, as always, apply your common sense. Okay, so let's talk about perimeter protection. Creating a protective live defense perimeter around your residence could potentially ensure your long-term survival chances. If you set up your barrier protection correctly, you have more potential of keeping those random stragglers from even finding your place. And if they do, that barrier will keep them at bay long enough for you to put to use some of that firepower, ammo, and other resources you have acquired for that purpose. So history has proven that one of the most difficult obstacles and barriers to infiltrate or breach by humans without any heavy destructive equipment, of course, are walls. Unfortunately, it is always very much expensive to put up a wall all the way around your place. Sometimes a bit of common sense served with a dose of ingenuity can serve you well. So improvise, good sirs. So trust that you are going to want your perimeter barrier to be a circle of defense that is pretty much as far out as your property goes, unless you live on hundreds of acres out in Nowheresville. This opposed to allowing them to get extremely close to your main retreat. If an intruder can't move forward and gain access to you in your actual shelter, then you will have created a sufficiently protected perimeter. So what about perimeter alarms? Early warning devices, anti-intrusion signals. Perimeter alert alarms are devices rigged to set off a series of noises, the sign that someone has crossed a boundary. These alarms can be built on a range of different styles and designs, spanning in price from a 12-pack of beer to state-of-the-art units. In this article, we will only discuss the inexpensive ways to rig your perimeters with noise-making alarms. So here's a side note. Only make certain alarms if you are at that particular level of achievement. Do not attempt to make anything that may hurt you or others without first being trained accordingly. So one thing to keep in mind when rigging your perimeter alarm is what sort of animals you may have in the immediate area. Yes, animals can set off traps, signals, and devices just as easily as a human. Typically, the first thing people love to envision when thinking of perimeter protection is pyrotechnics. And obviously, there are time-tested and trustworthy forms of alert. They often tend to perform dual purposes, for they can act as a shock impediment, slowing the attacker's progression. These, however, should only be used and rigged if you know what you are doing. While using these, you must regard the potential risk of forest fires. Be wary when using any sort of flare setup. The best route to take with alarm type systems is low-tech devices. Devices that have minimal mechanical devices. Keeping it simple and efficient will make these sorts of alarms far more useful in every type of scenario. So use tin cans filled with a few small pebbles tied together with strings. Yes, surely you have seen these in some deliverance type movies, but they really do work. Set up a low-cost tripwire device that triggers a blank shotgun shell to explode. Incorporate some protective outdoor dogs to your perimeter protection arsenal. Use metal pie plates in the same way you do the tin cans. This method also really, really helps if you implement it to your garden barrier as well. So going back to the thought on animals tripping your alarms, don't be too peeved if a deer happens to trip your noise alarm. The alert of the animal may just be your very own personalized dinner bell ringing. Seeing as how large fireworks, say like rapid fire tube clusters and bursting skyrockets, are perfectly legal to buy, it may be a good idea to go ahead and stock up on them. Not only do they make 4th of July celebrations with your wild cousins more interesting, but they also make for excellent perimeter alarms and deterrents. Again, guys, I'm going to add, if you know what you're doing, and if you're anywhere around the woods, considering that, right? Because that could just cause so many more problems than you were not prepared to deal with. All right, so moving on. Another good way to stun and surprise an intruder is by strategically using the old Magic Cube camera flashbulbs. They are mechanical, so there is no battery involved. These will surely mess up any sort of night vision being used. All right, so when I was getting ready for this podcast and I read that, I remember when I was in Boy Scouts, we used to do those, right? So I don't even know if you can really find them. I mean, I'm sure you can find them somewhere, but we used to love those. So we would take those apart and we would rig them to alligator clips, to an on and off switch, and to a 9-volt battery, right? And we would hit that in the middle of the night. Of course, we had fun. We did stuff. We would go around and you know, we would dress in camo, and you know, we weren't your typical Boy Scout troop. But anyway, so we would do some of these and flash it. And so at night, when you're in the middle of the night and you got that flash, man, it blinded you really, really good. And he's actually going to talk about that here in a second. So that would do really, I mean, that would do a really good job, and that would be perfect to have. I just don't know how you set it off without any type of battery. So I might be, well, first of all, I don't know if you can still find them. And second of all, I don't know about setting them off without a battery involved somehow. But anyway, so if someone has a clue on that, feel free to come on over to episode 534 and let me know on that one. All right, so they are mechanical. So I'm continuing on here. So they are mechanical and there's no battery involved. These will surely mess up any sort of night vision being used. And now for a very interesting one, guinea fowl. They can be thought of as a last resort, too close for comfort alarm. They aren't much for distance recon, as they like to be close to the home and will only be of use in letting you know that someone has made it to the quote-unquote yard. They are fairly self-sufficient birds, about chicken size, and if worse came to worse, they can be pretty tasty. That is, if you don't mind their likeness to dark meat chicken. They also produce eggs that are nearly as tasty as chickens. When something comes too close for their comfort, they make a racket and a raucous hullabaloo that could wake the dead. They can, at times, be more reliable than a good old guard dog. Snakes, watch for them to circle up and get real noisy. Dogs, up on a roost, but the same alarm calls. An unwelcome human, same thing. So what about perimeter intrusion obstructions? So intrusion obstructions refer to things that will help to deter anyone from ever even attempting to enter your boundaries. Think of a fence or a wall. That is the principle here, only high chain link fences or barbed wire fences are not only extremely pricey, but they are very easy to breach. You've only got to be a good climber or have a pair of wire snips. You must take into consideration of the psyche during times of distress, of course, and before. If you make your home look like a FEMA prison camp, it will feel like one as well. The eyesore can actually make your experience during the SHTF scenario all the more dreadful. And again, these will not do much to keep humans out, unless of course it is electrified, but this will have to be of the same standard that prisons use to be even slightly sufficient. Going this route will actually be drawing more attention to you, your family, and your bug out or bug in location. There are a plethora of inexpensive fencing ideas, such as pyramids of tangled concertina type razor wire rolls. These, depending upon how much perimeter you have to cover, can prove to be pretty pricey as well. As mentioned at the beginning of this article, we will be discussing the cheaper ways to protect your perimeter. Therefore, your true best bet is to know how to create a natural perimeter barrier obstruction. The best way to begin is to get to know your perimeter. So if you live out in the sticks, a natural barrier will serve two purposes. First, the obvious, making it difficult for an intruder to get onto your land. And secondly, it will serve to keep any stray wanderers from ever being intrigued to begin with. So begin by strategically placing old felled trees in piles randomly along the perimeter. Next, start intertwining branches and brambles in among the logs. The idea here is to make it look as natural as possible. You can get pretty darn technical with this type of barrier, all the while staying far below budget. As you build this natural fence, if you can swing it here and there, get a bundle of razor wire or good old-fashioned barbed wire, or even use boards with exposed nails and intertwine them into the fence. Remember that you will always want a couple of ways out, as you never want yourself entirely trapped in your own compound. As you construct the fence, make a few points that can be used as exits, low enough not to be noticed from the outside and small enough that they can be plugged until ready to use. If by chance the to-be intruders keep following the camouflage fence, knowing that there is something on the inside, make your fence so that they are led to a single opening. This point will be the total focus of your fire line. You get the picture. So if you construct your natural fence properly, it will be nearly impossible to traverse over them without falling, tripping, and twisting yourself into some sort of awful injury and entrapment. Then, waiting like a snake in the tall grass, hidden bales of tanglefoot and concertina wire lay in wait. Their best bet is to follow along with the wall until they reach the funnel point, where it becomes their worst, most appalling bet, reading the sign face to face that claims no warning shot due to the fallout of the real world. So, what about defensive counterattack booby traps and other devices? Here's the deal. You shouldn't even waste your time and energy meddling with man-trapping devices. Huge snares, deadfalls, spike pits, etc. These are extremely labor-intensive. They waste time, and for the majority of the time, they don't even work. Not to mention, they run the risk of potentially hurting an innocent person if you construct them before any SHTF. Sure, they may have worked in the old school guerrilla warfare of wars in the past, but that was only due to lack of resources. So here's some last minute details, some further advice for perimeter protection. Always remember to not trap yourself in your rush to keep others out. Always leave yourself an alternate regression point in your perimeter barrier. You should try to maintain good to decent relationships with your neighbors. Be sure that they sort of know what is normal for your property. This can ensure that they will report unusual events that take place if you happen to be away, and perhaps they can call the police if need be. Also, by maintaining a good relationship with neighbors, you never know when one will quickly come to your much-needed aid. Now, perhaps consider making your place look a bit less attractive. After SHTF, you can throw old random junk over the lawn to make it appear as though it has already been ransacked. Maybe keep a few of those biohazard and radon signs on your window. Another very good practice to keep in mind when it goes down is to practice a darkened ship during the nighttime. Make it truly look as if no one is home. So these tips are considered some of the cheaper ways of handling perimeter protection, which may be dire to know. In some scenarios, as you can imagine, high-tech gear may not be so useful. However, if you can swing it, might as well do it. At least it is worth looking into all the different methods of keeping your perimeter under lock and key when SHTF. Good luck out there, and remember what they say about pyros. If they aren't already missing a few fingers or an eye, they soon will. Use extreme caution and that old noodle of yours for things that go boom. All right, guys, so there's one comment here, but a good article old school, you know, type perimeter alarms, I think are very valuable. They're easy to make. Anybody can make those. You know, I really like the idea of the, you know, building the natural fence and having that going to where you kind of naturally filter people through an opening. I like that idea. You know, one of the things that I'm just thinking back to when we would go up to my dad's place, and especially when we would spend the night there in the tent before we had any kind of shelter there, is at night we heard all types of animals. I mean, even around the tent. I mean, there was like armadillos and whatever, you know, out there messing around and digging and all that kind of stuff. And so you're going to have those types of animals coming through. So if you have perimeter alarms, let's just say you get to a certain time where you are putting up perimeter alarms, then that's going to always be one of those things. There is a path that the deer and the other smaller animals, I mean, you can see it plain as day when you go out there, and you know, we're always looking over there. And so there's, you know, there is the pathway where the smaller animals travel, and then you can see where the deer, where they're traveling. And so they have their own pathways that they go in and out of the forest. And it's pretty thick, right? It's pretty thick in a lot of areas. And they have their own little paths that they travel. So, you know, you take into account that aspect, you know, when you're doing little perimeters and alarms and things like that. So maybe it's one of those things. It would be a lot of work. But let's just say that maybe you have things that go off, right? Like those shotgun shells that go off. Maybe you go and you undo those perimeter alarms during the day, you know, in the early morning when you wake up, but at night you go and you set them, or right before it, you know, it's nighttime, and so, you know, you're not going out and setting those off during the day. Maybe that's something that you do. Maybe you want that protection all the time, all even during the day. And so that's one of those things. But the idea that you need perimeter protection is just one of those, another thought that you have to put in, like, hey, if the poop really did hit the fan, what would I do? The cool thing is that you could do some of these even around, like he was talking about, even around your home. If you really aren't like in the woods, or you're at a bug out location or whatever, you know, you can, if you have a little walkway up to your front door, you can do that. You can definitely put natural barriers in front of windows, right? So you can have vegetation, you know, bushes, whatever, that have little thorns and, you know, stuff, whatever on them, you know, that people would not want to get close to a window because they're just going to get tore up. It's just not worth it for them to be able to do that. So I think any kind of alarm system or any kind of thing that helps you in your defense, whether that's now or SHTF, right? I think that's important. One of the things that I always like to say is you should think in layers. You know, how many layers can you put in between you and the bad guys? And that's, you know, a layer can be something as simple as a dog that would be alerted to barking. It could be as simple as maybe having an extra, like a window, a glass door. You know, it could be something as simple as putting in a floodlight that, you know, is on a motion sensor. So you can do all these different things to create layers of protection. And that really, that's what it boils down to. You know, the perimeter is one of those it's a layer that's really far out there for you. So anyway, guys, that is it for this article. Again, it's over at prepperswill.com. Like always, I'm going to link to this article in the show notes. It was called Perimeter Protection Assurance Smart Tips. Well, everyone, that is it for episode 534. Thanks so much for hanging out with me on this episode. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the show. You can head on over to theprepperwebsitepodcast.com. That way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. And take a moment to connect with me. I have a ton of ways to connect in the show notes and also with email. Don't forget that. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.